Hey guys, it's Trey here. Welcome back to the Shape Game. It's been a while. I apologize. I started recording multiple episodes, and I used to just upload them or post them whenever I recorded them, sometimes two in a day, sometimes like three in a week, day to day. It depends on what my crazy brain is doing. But lately, I've been trying to, if I record multiple ones in a day or a few days, I'll schedule them to post so that on weeks where I just don't have anything to talk about or don't think about recording, I already have something set up. So that's pretty cool. Anyways, let's get to the topic of today's show. Blasphemy. If you know what that is, let me ask the good old robot, Alexa. What is the definition of blasphemy? Let's see if this...
The noun blasphemy is usually defined as impious utterance or action concerning God or sacred things.
Okay, hopefully you heard that. If not, it's a pious utterance against God or sacred things. So if you don't know what pious means, it just means full of yourself. It's like if you tell God you can do his job better. Of course, that's one way of looking at it. You could say a lot of things, and you know, for as little of a religious person as I am, I won't even attempt to give you examples of things you could say. Because, you know, I do love living and I'm a little superstitious sometimes. So, but blasphemy, we're going to talk about it today because I don't mind being fake blasphemous against people who are pretty much being blasphemous. If that makes any sense, I don't know if I've told you, but my sister is kind of in a cult, but not really. It's the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. You can check them out. They're really creepy. Yeah, they're really creepy. I've looked up a lot of stuff about them over the years as she went to their school, quote-unquote school, unaccredited. And, of course, my mom has really gotten into it now. And so my sad, that was once beautiful Amazon account now has tons of recommendations based off of their interest in this school. So now I have a lot of books in my recommended feed that are not anything I would ever read. But they do make me laugh sometimes. I found a book that was called Kylo, and I thought that was funny. If you know anything about Star Wars, at least the recent movies, you know that the villain's name is Kylo Ren. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's a prequel to the Star Wars movies. But I knew it was just, I can't even remember what it stands for. Something, Kindle Your Love Again or something. I can't remember. But it was really cheesy. So anyways, a lot of the people from the Bethel Church write books, or they have people write books for them, put their name on it, and these books are plentiful. Bill Johnson, the head of the Bethel system, he's written like 20, 30 books, I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but he's written a lot of books, and he cranks like one out every year. And some of them have really poor production. Like in terms of, I've been watching a lot of movies lately, so I'm using movie terms when it should be book terms. But the quality of the writing is very poor. And I know that he did not have someone read it beforehand, before getting published, definitely. But there are a lot of these books. His wife writes books. A lot of the heads of the church, quote unquote, write books. So let's just go through some of these recommendations on my Amazon page and talk about them. This won't be really serious or theological, but it's more of, this is hilarious, let's mock these people. And technically, I'm not mocking the Bible, I'm mocking these people for misunderstanding the Bible, see? So this book just came out, it's coming out, it's available for pre-order as of me recording this podcast, February 19th, 2019. Author Benny Johnson with Bill Johnson, but her name is bigger on the cover, it's The Power of Communion. And it's talking about communion. If you don't know what that is, it's when you drink the wine and eat the little piece of bread on Sundays. And I'm really interested that they're doing this because these new agey churches, every time I've been to a service for my sister, or I have no idea why I would go other than that, but whenever I've been, the focus of these this communion part is so little. They barely mentioned, they say, if you're interested, go off to the corner. I'm not even kidding. In one church, they were like, go off over there and you can do that. If you're interested, most churches, you know, if you're thinking about the Catholic Church or any other major, sect of Christianity, you think of where they either have you all line up and go to the front, or they give it out to the rows and then everyone drinks it or eats it at once. So it's interesting that they wrote a book about this, or quote unquote wrote. I'll stop making the joke. But the cover shows wine, of course, very red wine, and so it is about the power of communion. But the subtitle of it is Accessing Miracles Through the Body and Blood of Jesus. So if you haven't listened about my about Bethel before, when I talk about it, let me just tell you that they believe in miracles, healing. They have healing rooms on their campus where you can be healed every day, every Sunday pretty much. People are in wheelchairs, are wheeled up, and they are able to walk again. People who have one leg longer than the other, which apparently there are a lot of those people, their legs are corrected, you know, blind people can see. And I wish I was being sarcastic, but this is what happens on the Sundays there. It reaffirms that you could have the ability to heal, and it keeps people coming back. I don't necessarily, and by necessarily, I mean, I don't at all believe in these types of miracles or healing things. I just don't, from a theological standpoint and a rational standpoint. If they have these abilities, why just do it on Sundays in church? If you really have these abilities, go to hospitals, go to children's hospitals and heal all the children with cancer. You know, I mean, really, would God just want you to say, hey, let me hang out at church? You could spread, if your mission in life is to spread the word of God, you would do such a better job of that by healing children in hospitals. And that would make the news, but no. Just do it in your church on Sundays, and it's the same thing. People with crutches, people with wheelchairs, people who maybe can't see or have acne, you know. My sister says she was healed of depression. I didn't know you could be healed of that. And then she was also healed of constipation one day, which is great. That's a rough one. You know, that's a real pain. I'm really happy that she was helped with that. And this is where we get along the blasphemy things. I apologize if this is offensive to people who do believe in religion. But once again, while I do believe in the Bible, I don't make it a huge part of my day-to-day life. And I definitely don't have any respect for people who abuse the Bible as a tool to make money off of others or just to trick people into believing something. We'll get into more of these books. I know I'm kind of going off on Bethel instead of the books themselves, but it really hurts because my parents, if you didn't know this, I have cancer. And when it was really bad a couple months ago, my parents really, really, really believed in prayer as the solution to the problem. And I was like, hey, if I don't make it out of this, I don't want you guys to be upset, because they were getting really hyped up and positive about the outcomes of everything. Because they said, not because of what the doctors were doing, but because of their prayer was going to make sure it was guaranteed that I would be okay. And that's, I'm like, all right, nowhere in the Bible does it say that. You pray for God's will to be done. You don't pray for specific things, because God's will might not be that I survive cancer. And my family doesn't understand that. And these churches don't help that either. If they say literally you can just heal constipation and heal these wheelchair things, if you've been to these churches, you get wrapped up in the moment emotionally and believe these things, it can be really detrimental to your life. I can only assume. But let's get into this book. Free preview, thanks to Amazon. Let's check it out. Excuse me for burping. I'm great like that. Let me read you some of the chapters. Chapter one is Wonder Working Power. Chapter two is The Power of the Blood. Chapter three is Sozo for All Mankind. I don't know what Sozo means. Conquering Through Peace, The Fight to Remember, Releasing the Power of Communion. Oh, wow. They don't get to that till chapter six. That's kind of a bummer. Developing the Habit, Let's Take Communion Together is the epilogue. Okay. Well, this is a very short preview, but I might as well read it. It's like less than a paragraph. I was raised in the church. As the saying goes, I cut my teeth on the wooden pews. Okay, I've never heard that saying before. You know, I've never heard that saying before, to be honest. But all right, we'll keep going. My parents were never officially pastors, but they were always leaders in the church. We called them lay pastors. They weren't licensed, but they helped in the church, mostly with the youth, and were there all the time. We definitely spent a lot of time in those wooden pews. For us, being at church was just a normal part of life. I never resented how often we were there. I loved it. All right, listen, you're lying because I don't think any child loves being in church, mainly because those pews hurt like crap. They're super hard and very uncomfortable, and I cannot wait to get out whenever I go on Sundays, which isn't too frequent, just to be honest. But when I do go, I've never been in a church where the pew is comfortable. That's just me, especially if you're a kid. I'm pretty sure you're hating having to sit in those pews. So, ma'am, Ms. Johnson, I'm calling baloney. But let's read the actual description of your book instead of just a random what's going on thing. Let's see. Here we go. Okay. It's about the author. We don't care. Oh, hi, Benny. You have a description, please? Actually, there's a lot of reviews, but no, like, description of the book. So here we go. This is a review from Donna. 5 stars. I just read the free chapter I was given as a download, and I'm looking forward to reading the rest. There is so much power in the blood of Jesus, so much more than most of us understand. I have been learning about it for years, and recently restarted the practice of daily communion in my home. The Lord is bringing us into the fullness of what he has done for us. Okay. Vaguely confused, because I do have several people I talk to that are elders in the church, and not once have I ever been told that communion in your home is the same as communion in a church. Usually, it's like the pastor or priest or whatever you consider it, is the person blessing it and giving it to the people, and that's what makes it anything. You just doing it at home is you just drinking wine. Is this woman saying that she's just day drinking and eating bread? Because that's what it sounds like. But all right, Donna. A lot of these are like power in the blood of Jesus. A lot of these are giving the 5 stars and they're like, can't wait for this book to come out. And they haven't even read it yet. But of course, they're giving it good reviews because they know Benny and Bill. Why would Benny and Bill give us a bad book? Why would they do that? Yeah. All right. Great. Let's look at another book. Let's skip to The Whole Life. The Whole Life. That's another book, and that's not by either of them. This is by David Stein. 2 reviews, 5 stars each. Let's see who this is. Sorry if I hit the microphone by accident. He is the founding pastor of Metro Church in Washington, D.C. area. His background's in both business and ministry. He holds a master's of practical theology and a doctorate of ministry and leadership. He's gifted at making deep theological truths user-friendly for his readers and is known for his dynamic and motivational public speaking. Okay, so they live in Florida, but he was the founding pastor. Oh, that's weird. Okay, whatever. So this book is 250 pages long. Let's get going. Oh, he's a young-looking guy. Okay. People will give this really good reviews. Something I want to say as we get to this is more of like a rambling, I can tell, about modern religion. I don't have a problem with religion itself. I have a problem in terms of, how do I say this? It's not religion, it's organized religion. Because organized religion is when you add things on. So it's the church telling you what to do more so than the Bible or religious text you use itself. And that's where problems arise because, you know, oh, donate money to this church, or you can heal people in the healing rooms that are at our church. You know, I'm like, I don't remember that in the Bible. I don't remember the specifics, you know. Yeah, that makes no sense. Another thing is that David Stein, it talks about his church grew in excess of 6,000 members. Having a lot of people in your church doesn't mean it's a good church. I was talking with one of my best friends. He's a Sunday school teacher. He's been to seminary school, all that stuff. And I like how I said I'm not that religious, but I keep making it sound like I am. I just grew up really in a Christian home, really heavily influenced by it. And I don't go to church often. I don't pray. I just never read the Bible. I'm very liberal. Not that it has anything to do with religion, but like, I am not that religious at all. But that being said, I know a lot about it just because of how raised up in it I was and how often I went to church and how many books I read as a kid about it. So I know a lot about the Bible. I'm not a genius or anything with it, but I know a lot about it. And that's why when I hear things being said by people to persuade people into giving them money for their church, etc. just really annoys me. So my Sunday school teacher friend, we talk about movies. We really rarely talk about religion, but he was talking about the purpose of a pastor is to lead his flock. And if in normal terms, that's the leader of the building is going to personally help people with their problems and guide them through their faith. If you have 6,000 people in your church, how are you going to guide 6,000 people on a one-on-one basis? That's almost impossible. It really is impossible. It really is. You can have a lot of elders to help you, etc., but the size does not matter in terms of church. It really doesn't, because yeah, great. Joel Osteen's got a lot of people in his church, but how many does he know by name? How many does he just walk up to? I mean, like, and I'm not saying this like, oh, these people are have faults, you know, but I'm like, no, I'm not saying it like that. You know, everyone can have faults, but when you sell yourself as a very personable person and that you care about the individual, yet you don't know the people you're witnessing to. You're just making general statements that appeal to generally a good large group of people that are so watered down that it just makes people happy or sad, but it doesn't really affect them in a spiritual way. It's like, I was going to compare it to a college class, but I really couldn't because I just couldn't. So let's actually just read a little bit about this dude's book. We're halfway through this podcast, and I have not, sadly, read any of these books to you guys, really, except one. So inspired by 1 Thessalonians, wow, I'm horrible at pronouncing this, 5:23, wow, he picked a literal verse of the Bible to inspire a whole book. Wow, that's impressive. This new book from Pastor David Stein focuses on the three parts of your being, the spirit, the soul, and the body, and shows you how you can experience a balanced and more fulfilled life when you take care of all three. You know, I was in the wrong. I've just been taking care of the soul and not the spirit. But the body, you know, hey, I ate enough McDonald's that's taken care of. Kidding. The whole life. Finding God's rhythm in your spirit, soul, and body. I didn't know God had a rhythm there. Thank you so much, sir. Another thing that annoys me about these books is I'm like, pretty much you can get everything you need from the Bible in terms of living a spiritual life. If you need a book to tell you how to interpret the Bible, that's not great because that is that person's, the author's interpretation of the Bible. That's kind of wrong. And I'm getting fed up with this already. And I think I tried doing this once before and this happened then too. Here we go. This is the Misfit Bible by Tiffany Kilgore. Bit creepy. Let's see. Here we go. Misfit Table. Sorry, I said Misfit Bible. Misfit Table. Let your hunger lead you to where you belong. You know what? If that was true, I would belong at a Cane's Chicken, if you know where that is, or a wing place, because I love those things. My hunger would lead me to places, and I would belong there. You know, I'd be a regular customer and probably weigh a lot. And I'd say, like, hey, the Misfit Table. this is by Tiffany Kilgore, as I said. So let's see. Let's see what this the blurb is on this. This just came out, too. All these books are pretty new. 5 stars, of course, with 27 reviews. Too often the world speaks words of harm, and too often we believe them, and so we live stories God never intended for us. God longs to rewrite and redeem your story. She's the founder of a lifestyle and design boutique, House of Belonging, and grew up in a broken home before marrying at the tender age of 16. Excuse me? What? That's, I mean, I'm not judging people, but, you know, let's see. Years later, she divorced, and with 3 small children, she remarried. The seasons that followed brought 2 more children, another broken marriage, chronic disease, major surgeries, and cycles of abuse, leaving Tiffany feeling alone and unloved. Hunger for healing in a safe place, as Tiffany began seeking Jesus through journaling and soon found breadcrumbs of grace leading her down a new path. I don't... So here's the thing. If you've listened to my last episode is about suicide, my suicide story. I have been depressed for a large part of my life. And I'm going to make a few connections here. There's an episode of Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't remember what it was about, but it was talking about Dennis's character. Not important if you don't know who it is. He has sex with a lot of women. And that's his main thing, really. And he says, everybody has a God hole. I fill mine with sex. And so I was like, wow, that's really interesting. The God hole concept. So people do have these things. You fill it with your passions in life, you know? And so for this woman, Kilgore, it seems her God hole was filled with, you know, the Bible, which is totally okay. I'm not judging her on this. And she seems genuine. From this, she seems really nice from this little blurb. And, you know, that's surprising to me because once again, I took it the wrong way immediately. This whole thing, because it's a book, it's religious, and it seems cheesy. She's smiling on the cover, and you know, but seriously, of course she has a boutique, House of Belonging. There are some words in here I don't like. For example, like when they say seasons, my sister says that a lot. She's like, this is the season of my life, and I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never heard anyone other than someone like that form of Christianity who says those kinds of things, and it really confuses me. I'm like, just say this point in my life. You don't have to make it fancy and say this season of my life. Okay, here we go. Tiffany writes, as a modern-day mystic, with lyrical force and deep tending of the soul, in this book, for anyone who has ever felt out of place or at odds in the world, each chapter features compelling narratives as well as poignant response from Papa God. Okay, she calls God Papa. That's vaguely weird. Great. And the result of stirring an invitation to come home where you belong. Come sit, take and eat, and join the battle cry to take God at his word. Okay, great. You can love yourself. You are worth loving. I've said all of this in my suicide thing. And I definitely recommend you go listen to that if you want to know more about like self-help or you helping yourself and understanding that you're worth loving. I feel like you shouldn't use religion as a coping mechanism, or you shouldn't use religion as a crutch to accepting yourself on your own. It's like if you use relationships or you use drugs, alcohol, anything. You can abuse anything and use it as the thing to make you better or help you think you're better. And I think people do that a lot. But you know, I do like this very millennial-esque cheesy blurb about the author. Tiffany is a tattooed grandma, a freedom fighter, and a beloved warrior with a heart to speak to misfits just like her. Great. Misfits. That's really great. I love misfits. They're awesome. You know, I mean, misfits are just the best. Let's see the reviews. Claims your attention. Oh, nice. Hope lives. Raw truth wrapped in a book. Like healing balm to my soul. Mana for the soul. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Misfit Table, for showing me that they can be written in a corny way, in a completely different way than what I had been intending this podcast to be about. I thought these were all blatantly bad. But this one is more, like, genuine. I haven't met this woman, so I can't say, oh, she's using this to make money. The other people, it seems a lot more likely because they've led churches and all these things, and I've been more experienced with the actual people in churches. But this woman, she could 100% believe what she's saying and wrote this book in a way to help people. Once again, the way she's helping people, or the way she thinks she's helping people, is through religion, her version of Christianity, which I do not see as a permanent solution because it can hurt, especially like my parents, because unless they outlive me, which is possible, if I die of cancer, because it's a very aggressive form of cancer, I feel like they'll be angry at God, because in their version of Christianity, they believe God was supposed to heal me of this, and that hurts me. And that hurts a lot of people when you use prayer and you use religion to justify good or bad things. So I'm sorry, Tiffany, you've had such a rough life. You're worth loving. You're worth living for. But, you know, calling God Papa is a bit odd. It's a bit odd. But that just might be my old soul heart. That might be me being weird and old, and Tiffany's the tattooed grandma who knows better than me. And I don't even mean that in a sarcastic way. Maybe she does. Maybe I'm the grumpy old guy, 23, by the way, the grumpy old guy who just doesn't understand. I'm not even joking. There have been points in my life, some more recent than others, where I have tried so hard to believe in the Bible again in terms of committing like my sister does. And I just can't do it. I really can't. I try so hard and I just don't feel it. And I don't know what it is either. I say I'm too smart to feel it. And I don't mean that in like I'm a pretentious way, but it's just like, it seems so obviously a lie. And I'm not, of course, once again, talking about Jesus himself and the Bible at its core. I'm talking about what modern Christianity has done to the idea of the Bible and the idea of Jesus as like this bro who's there for you and loves you, man. It's going to be okay, bro. No, I don't believe that. The world's rough, okay? It really is. And it's going to beat you down. And my sister says she loves everybody. I was like, Donald Trump said something really stupid today. And she's like, you know, I don't agree with what he does, but I love Donald Trump because God created him. And I'm like, great, 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 great. I disagree with you because it's like saying you would have to love Hitler. Not saying Donald Trump is Hitler by a long shot, thankfully. But it's in the vein of even the worst people of humanity, you can love them because, you know, God created them. Jeez, what a weird way to end this episode. I'm probably going to title this something cheesy, like the blasphemy episode or sacrilegious, something cool like that. But yeah, Bethel blasphemy. That's what I'm going with right there. Just came up with it. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. Hopefully you're not offended by it. You probably are in some way, because even if you don't believe in Bethel itself, you probably agree with some form of Christianity since it's very popular. And I hope I didn't offend you in any way. And if you want to reach out to me, simply trey@protonmail.com. Definitely shoot me an email. Give me some thoughts. Please, nothing hateful or negative, because, you know, Christians are people too. Atheists are people. Everybody's a person, you know? And as long as you're not saying hateful, violent things, I don't think you should come at someone with hateful or violent things. So unless I said something really hateful and violent and I didn't realize it, please do not come at me like that, because it's kind of sad. You know, we're better than that. We can use our words in a more powerful way to help and build up others, like Tiffany said. So thank you so much, guys, for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.